Well, happy Thursday. Hope you have had a good week thus far. Committee week here in Tallahassee. All kinds of fun stuff going on at the Capitol, but we're not here to talk about that now. We're here to talk about something even more interesting when it comes to folks living in the environs of Florida's capital city, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of that momentarily. But before we get underway, a big welcome to you to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan, and a reminder, you're always invited to be part of Perspectives via phone and email. Number 414-1234 is local. If you're way out in the hinterlands, we'll pick up the tab, 800-926-8809, toll free. Email your preferred form of communication. It's perspectives at WFSU.org, or you can send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. 7 years from now, the projections are that over 10,000 new jobs will be available in the Leon County area that will require more than a high school diploma, but less than a four-year college degree. So there's going to be a growing need for that particular niche for employment. So Leon County government is hosting something called the Leon Works Expo in just a little bit to connect the community and employers and academic institutions and a whole bunch of folks, including students, with those jobs that are on the way. Now, that expo is going to be open also to students in the morning, and then it's going to be open to the general public in the afternoon. Much more on that to come, and it's going to be happening October 23rd at the Lively Technical Center, Building 14. To talk about that and all of the other ramifications involved in the remaking of our jobs picture here in the capital city, we have an absolutely outstanding panel to talk about that today, and your input as well. Let's start off with Christina Paredes, who is director of Leon County Office of Economic Vitality, and it is so great to have you here, Christina.
Thanks, Tom. I'm excited to be here today.
We also say hi to Dr. Randy Pridgen, who is Division Director of Secondary Education, Leon County Schools. Dr. Randy, how you doing?
Doing great, and thank you for having us today.
It is a sheer delight to have you guys on. If you need some numbers, if you need some analytics, if you need some facts that you can wow and totally befuddle your friends, you got to talk to this guy, Ben Pingree, who is Executive Vice President of the Economic Development Council of Tallahassee, Leon County. You brought one of those big three-ring binders there, Ben.
A PowerPoint is forthcoming.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, make sure you have your radio set for PowerPoint reception, because that's going to be coming up very, very shortly. And if you need to get something built, you got to talk to this guy next to me, Shane Lambert of Shane Y. Lambert Construction General Contractor. Thanks for coming in,
Shane. Good morning. Thanks, Tom.
All right. And we start with the chair of the Leon County Board of County Commissioners, who is Mary Ann Lindley. And Madam Chair, thank you for kind of being a bit of a ringmaster for this entire circus, I guess we could call it today, huh?
Thank you. I've been called a lot of things, but never a ringmaster, so I'm going to add that to my street cred. Well, I am really happy to be here to talk about Leon Works. This shows you another side of local government, I think. You may think that all local government does is collect your money and spend it, but one of the things we're really good at is being a convener of folks in our community who are all doing interesting things but may not know about each other doing it, and one of these is the Leon Works is a demonstration of this. It's getting together all those folks who are now either working in the middle skills trades, who are working with kids in the public schools who may not want to go to college, don't plan to, don't have any interest in it. But there's a large number of those kids. We want to find ways for them to build their own success. And so we're working also with our workforce community, because we know there are jobs that are going wanting for skilled workers. So our county government is really kind of being the ringmaster, in a sense, bringing people together. And we want to invite the community, the students, and adults who kind of want to reinvent themselves a little to learn ways to get into these skilled trades that pay well, that are exciting for them, that may lead to their own creating their own businesses. And one thing, I think another piece of this is Leon County government has been very involved in the last several years with building entrepreneurships and startup businesses, the Domi Station and so forth. This is kind of the bookend to that. This is the middle skills trades, where people also start their own businesses and develop our economy and build happy lives. So I think it's going to be really invigorating.
We'll get into some of the actual nuts and bolts of the upcoming Leon Works Expo in just a little bit. But Ben Pinkery, if we could follow up on something that Commissioner Lindley said as far as the growing need for these kinds of jobs. The conventional wisdom, we were talking about this out in the hall before, is, oh, we are a government town. We have universities. You need an advanced degree to do just about anything here. And you have some low-end stuff, but that great unwashed middle. For skilled people, light manufacturing, we don't have any of that stuff. Or no need for it, right?
Well, we absolutely do. If you look at the data, and it's very interesting, and you're right, for years we talk about how we are a government town, and we're proud of our public sector and that heritage. But if you look at the GDP numbers and the actual productivity that is emerging from our marketplace, two-thirds are from the private sector and non-governmental activities. We've got a lot of great metrics that are really separate us, I would say, from peer communities. Workforce, absolutely and unequivocally, is a tremendous strength that we are now promoting more of. Well over half of our workforce in this community, it's not related directly to what we're talking about today, but it's an interesting metric. Well over half of our workforce has an AA degree or more. What we've been finding at the EDC, though, you speak of manufacturing, if you look at the jobs that are growing the quickest and the sectors that they're in, and I've got a data point here, 38 of the 50 fastest growing occupations in Leon County require an AA degree or less. What our key tradesmen and women have been saying is, we are careers, we are clean, we are safe, we are vibrant, and frankly, you know, to our K-12 community, you do not need to. Hey, go to college. It's great. We've got phenomenal higher education institutions here. But you do not need to go to have a career that is meaningful, productive. Oh, and by the way, very well compensated. I mean, ask the welders in our community. Ask the plumbers in our community. Ask the HVAC repair and technicians in our community. And these are highly paid jobs. And there's a high demand for qualified talent to fill those roles. And what we love about Leon Works, frankly, and appreciate Leon County government raising this issue and working with Leon County schools and the private sector, is we need to focus on this because it is a tremendous opportunity. Look, we're in the middle, and I'll stop blabbing, but we've got a made in Tallahassee company here, Danfoss Turbocore, that makes a product that has global market share. And it's magnetic HVAC compressors like you see on big buildings. They have highly skilled, highly paid workers, and they need more of it. It's a direct tie-in to the world-class research we have, frankly, right next to us at Innovation Park. And Leon Works and sort of the focal point of this entire endeavor is driving attention to our students in Leon County and surrounding areas to say, college is great, guys. Finishing is phenomenal. But let me tell you what else is phenomenal, having a strong career that you enjoy. And for a lot of our kids and a lot of our adults, that's a wonderful conversation to have.
Okay, let's throw it to the private sector, Shane Lambert, when it comes to the building and the contracting trades. I saw you there just nodding your head like crazy as Ben was talking. You guys need more of these kind of people, right?
We definitely need more like this. You know, after 2008 and the downturn, the construction industry really took a large hit. Either companies were going out of business or they were getting out of business. And so it wasn't very enticing for the younger generation to get into something that they felt there was no future in. I can tell you there's definitely a future for skilled trades right now, especially in Tallahassee. I'm a high-end remodeling company. And you know, we have an A team and a B team and a C team, and we're having more and more work coming up, and it's very difficult to find qualified skilled trades. Even our subcontractors who are, you know, looking for these younger folks coming in, because a lot of these folks are these skilled trades are older, 45 and above, And, you know, we need that younger generation. So we have that void. I think there's a preconceived notion that, you know, when you graduate from high school, you've got to go to college. And I think, you know, I'm not blaming this, but I see a lot of this goes to the high school. It's really – they're really pushing for college, you know, for these younger folks. And they don't, you know, provide the opportunity for the younger generation to for the skilled trades, that these, you know, the opportunity to get into that. And the problem is, you know, I've just lost my train of thought.
Yeah. But well, let's throw that to Dr. Randy Pritchard, because how in the schools then, since we're talking secondary here, do you pre-position folks, since you no longer have, well, the academic track and the business track and the vocational track that I remember when I was growing up here, how do you persuade more students that, hey, this is viable, you can do this, and you can make a livelihood of it?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that you just did it. And the more we talk about it and the more we have partners that are letting our parents know that this is an option, the easier our job is. Let me tell you what we've been doing the last 2 years. A principal of a school, secondary school, is a CEO of a little small organization. So when they're at work, you know, a lot of times they don't get exposed to the different type of job markets and what the economy is doing, the economic development. For 2 years now, we have World Class Schools, which is a joint venture with the Economic Development Council. And we have been hosting principal meetings, secondary principal meetings at different businesses throughout this community. We talked about Danforth. Of course, they always are very active in our schools. But to have our principals go out there and actually work with the lathe machine, see what happens, talk to the people that are actually working there. We've been to the banking institutions, stuff like that. That got the CEO's awareness of that. And one of the things that came back to them, you know, as we start looking at some of our vocational programs and how we can tweak them, is the fact that a lot of parents, their mindset when they get to high school is, which college am I going to? And which, you know, that's the way they think. So as we do this, and I want to thank Commissioner Lindley, this has never happened before, that we have a county commission saying, hey, let's get together on this along with us. And I applaud her for that. She brought her resources, which are very, very helpful to us, to get this out with the business community as well as the parents. And as this trickles down, our parents are going to start seeing this. And, you know, you mentioned what we had when we had the career tracks. I was looking back at what I had when I was at Leon back in the 70s, late 70s, and the offerings were a lot more in the vocational side. And some of those are coming back. We do have to look at, you know, what's viable. The program's coming back. You know, we talked about the building boom hurt us, really.
Well, let's okay. Get into that on the other side of this break as we continue Perspectives right here on WFSU-FM. Don't go away. Talking about Leon Works, which is a new initiative right here in Florida's Capital County to connect a newly developed or redeveloped, I guess we could call it, workforce with the jobs of the future, which do not necessarily require some kind of advanced academic degree. So how do you do that? That's what we're talking about here on Perspectives today. 414-1234, our local number. It's 800-926-8809, long distance, and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address here. We were, Commissioner Lindley, you were just waiting to jump in there as Dr. Randy was talking about the preparation of students for these kinds of jobs, the ones that really you need skill, you need all kinds of expertise, but you don't necessarily have to have a bachelor's or even an associate's degree.
Right. It might be overstating it to say we're trying to turn around the culture with Leon Works, but in a way we are trying to say again that for a long time now the pendulum has been everybody goes to college, even if that means going to college, racking up a lot of debt, coming out and not having a job, or going to college and kind of squandering the opportunity because you don't know what you're there for. Mm-hmm. So one of the big things we're trying to do is to try tell kids or students there are many ways to create your own success, and this is one of them. I got the idea, and I'm being teased a lot about this, because the plumbing went out in my old 1920s house, and who should arrive to rescue me but what I call the hot young plumbers? So there, I'm standing over my kitchen sink in the homeowner mode, hands on hips, suggesting what might be wrong. And one of the young guys kind of rolls out from under my kitchen sink and says, "Ma'am, we solve problems all day long, and we're good at it." And I just had to laugh, and I said, "You really like your job, don't you?" And he said, "Yeah, I really do. It's great. You know, we really do. We like solving problems. We like figuring things out. We like fixing stuff. You know, we're sometimes up in the roof. We're sometimes under the house. We're outdoors. We get paid well." I knew that. "And at 5 o'clock, we go home and go fishing. You know, it's a wonderful lifestyle." They really liked it. And we are at Leon Works going to have one of our success stories, and on our video are these guys from the plumbing company who really do testify to how, yeah, they like doing something that is their own, you know. And so
that's
a big piece of it.
How about it? I mean, you know, I joke as well. You could follow – I joke about this with my kids. Follow your dad's track and go to college for 8 years on a four-year plan. Come out with six figures in debt, and it's noble. I love my background. You know, become a social worker and rub nickels together in your pocket. Or if you do like to create with your hands, you can at 18 years of age an apprentice, and within a year, with overtime and with aptitude, not even working for yourself yet. To Shane's point, you could be pulling in darn near six figures. I mean, it's that is compelling. And then you sort of look beyond even the trade there and the welding, and you go to IT. Oh, give me a break. I mean, the IT professionals, the business analytics that you spoke of, Tom, that is a real and increasing challenge in the workplace and in the business workplace. Because we all have so many data points, whether it's Facebook or you know, through our websites or all the various programs that we have that monitor our programs. How do you extract good business intelligence from that data set? That there's a lot of money in them there, Hills, quite a bit. And with a little bit of trade knowledge, IT is huge. And healthcare, I mean, don't even get us started. Mm-hmm. Healthcare is an absolute driver, and the data within our marketplace reveals that's another key area for growth.
Well, Tom, to Ben's point there, when I first got started in developing the research and pulling together a planning group to talk about Leon Works and what this looks like for our community, Commissioner Lindley shared with me a cartoon, and it's got this lawyer sitting in the middle of his desk, and in one hand he's holding his student loan bill, and the other he's got his plumber and electrician, and he's like, "I can't pay my bills this month my student loans this month because I got to pay my plumber and electrician." And, you know, he's walking out of law school with, you know, six figures in debt and just starting at the bottom, where these guys, the plumbers and the electricians and the HVACers and some of the nurses and EMTs, you know, they just they're starting right away as soon as they get out, putting money away and saving for retirement. And then you have us that have gone the distance, so to speak, with our career, who, you know, are a little saddled with a little bit of student debt. So there's options out there. And to Randy's point too, when we were talking, students here all day long, the four-year degree colleges are going in and recruiting students right in the high school, and nobody is talking to the students about their other options. The employers aren't going out there. So the Leon Works Expo helps connect the students and also those seeking new career opportunities in our community with not only the employers, but also our academic institutions who help train and get those certifications. So it's a really unique expo in that aspect.
And they will get information on what kind of certification is needed, how long it takes, is it 3 months or 6 months or a year, how much does it cost to do that, what are the jobs available. So whatever your interest is, you know, you'll be able to get some really, really specific information. And Christina and her staff, I mean, they are really great, and they have done so much into the other areas, like the soft skills.
Yes.
And you might like to talk about that, because that's real important for people getting a job, the soft skills, which are?
Oh, absolutely. again, we had the opportunity to pull together a roundtable sponsored by the EDC. We brought in employers, and the school principals came and attended. And we kind of talked to them. This was in the very beginning, initial planning stages. What do we need to see here? What does this look like? Is there a need? And let's talk about that. So after we all agreed that there is a need to talk about the importance of skilled jobs and the opportunities that are available. One thing that came out of both the principals and the business community was soft skills and professionalism and how that is lacking in not only our young people, but some people who also have are looking for new job opportunities. They don't necessarily walk in well-dressed to apply for an application. When they get the job, they're asking for 2 weeks vacation already. Their resumes need a little bit of work, and they don't really know how to conduct themselves in an interview. So in the morning with the students, we're hosting breakout sessions, and each student will have an opportunity to learn what professionalism is and what it looks like. And then we're also doing that in the afternoon, where not only are we doing headshots, but Career Source, Capital Region, is bringing their career closet out to show what professional dress looks like. And that changes from job to job. If you're going to be a paralegal, you're going to be dressed in a suit. If you're going to interview with Shane, you're probably going to wear khakis and a blazer or a polo. And then we also are allowing people to sit down and practice those interview skills. So you can sign up to practice interviewing. And since social media and LinkedIn and Facebook are such a big part of our lives today, we're also hosting an opportunity for people to get professional headshots. So they're not on Facebook with a red Solo cup in their hands. They have a nice shot of them, a professional picture. And that is all part of things that we're offering in the afternoon.
Okay, and that's all going on again October 23rd. That's going to be out at Lively, and that's in Building 14, I think, right?
Yes.
Okay, the students, 8 to a little bit after noonish, and then from 1 on, it's going to be sort of open to everyone.
That's correct.
Okay, we'll repeat that in case you just missed it. We go to the phones and say hi to Nancy here on Perspectives. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, we're doing good. Thanks for calling in.
Well, my comment goes back to how do you get students interested in some of these, we call them heavy shop courses. And to give you a little background on me, I was an industrial arts major at Georgia Southern in the late 60s, early 70s. And I returned home to teach at Carroll High School, and I taught industrial arts. I taught basic woodworking and metalworking. We also introduced students to small engines, photography, printing, drafting. My drafting program took off, and so, you know, I got out of the shop. But industrial arts, while it's a big-ticket class, it's a fantastic way to introduce kids to a lot of different areas, you know, skilled areas, like cabinet making and carpentry and masonry and all of those things. And I really think they ought to bring it back, at least for ninth graders, because it would really lead them, it would show them, you know, that working with your hands is an honorable thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. And it can also be a remunerative thing to do, too, given today's. Dr. Pridgen, again, that was at one time the standard operating procedure at just about every high school in the United States. We did get away from that. And now, so we're trying to pull that back in?
We are. And how we do that, that's what we're looking to the future for. I can sympathize. She's talking about the home mechanics course I had at ninth grade. I can still remember it. You had a lot of hands-on experience that was taught in the shop class. You didn't do just woodworking, but you also did small engines and stuff like that. You don't see that now. And what we've gone into is more like the career theme courses where you have a person that's an expert in the field that we bring them out and teach maybe a course or two that they're experts in the field, and we have a way to do that now. The state's allowed us to do that. Where we've got to get to is the amount of time in a day that we have these kids and how we do it. We work on dual enrollment. One of the things that Commissioner Lindley's project has done, it's got the high schools, we got our secondary schools along with our workforce, our local workforce, as well as our community college and our technical center all together, making seamless paths. We've talked about it for years. I'll be honest with you, the recession did kind of set it back. Now we're coming out of that recession, and you see a lot of our programs are now President Murdoch, Kim Moore, they're at the table. Every time we do a program, All these partners are together. So now we've got to go back in the high schools and see how we can feed and what they need when they lead at the 12th grade level to feed into those programs. And those will be identified as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at one of my notes, and you had mentioned Dr. Murdaugh, Kim Moore. TCC, their Advanced Manufacturing Training Center, which is a wonderful resource in our community, and I think it's germane to this point. They just recently changed a policy a couple months ago that will allow high school students to pursue certification courses while still in high school and get that proverbial head start, if you will, utilizing what is a wonderful training and working space that exists there at the AMTC, at TCC.
Okay, and I think a big part of this has been, again, the displacement of need from multi-pathing, if you will. Multi-path, huh? That's a radio term. I didn't know that. Students so that they are more aligned with the skills and the preferences that they normally have to the – and I don't want to say one size fits all. Please, this is not a slam on the state education system, but everyone has gone more towards kind of standardized testing and a certain standard set of expectations for students that everyone has to meet. And that's kind of gotten in the way of this to a degree, I think.
Yes, sir. You're right on point with that. If you'll watch, our superintendent has – address this with the standardized testing and going that way. So we won't go down that right there, but it does play a big part in what we do. And with our focus going back, this is a priority with our superintendent. It has been for several years, and you'll see some things coming out, this being one of them. And let me take the opportunity to don't underscore what this the county commission and her staff has done. They have put a lot of resources, and they did this program right. A lot of times you'll have people come up and say, "Now we do get this in the schools," and they're gone. This has been over a year you've been planning this. A lot of stakeholders in this. They put a lot of staff hours. So I want to thank the county commission for doing that, because there's a lot of manpower hours that have gone into this program, and it has done right. And going forward, we really need to look at – because we're amped about it. One of our board members said, "You only got 50 from each high school." I said, "Yes, ma'am. This is the first year. Hopefully, we're going to get this to all the kids, and we're going to find a way to get this going forward." So,
and that is very important. I mean, that's one of our goals, is to to turn around the way people think about jobs and careers and education. They tend to go in trends. I mean, for a while, everybody went into IT. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to be a computer programmer. Now we have more than we know what to say mm-hmm. grace over, you know, and. And so I think the culinary arts sort of became this cool thing to go into because of TV programs and that sort of thing that inspires young people to think, "Oh, I want to do that. It sounds glamorous, creative, artistic, you know, delicious, et cetera." So I think one thing we want to do now is say, no, there are so many great ways to do this. And Shane, you know, that whole business of how do you make young people think this is a cool thing to do? And we can't underestimate the cool factor when you're trying to attract young people. The parents have to kind of get past the idea that if you don't go to Notre Dame, you know, who are you? Mm-hmm. We know that that's not the only path and not for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Or Shane, and you remember bumping up into this, you know, oh, blue collar.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You know, somehow these folks are second or third tier workers, and they're –